Hi, Gopal, lovely to meet you.
Hi, Claudia.
How are you?
Well, a little bit too much work, but nevertheless, it's great.
Okay. Yes, I'm here in New Jersey and in America, and we started with the honest sharing. So we're having regular group sessions. We have local sessions here. In Upper Saddle River, that's in north of New Jersey, and we're having a weekly Zoom calls. So that's the Zoom meetings. I wanted to ask you about the honest sharing. So I have some questions from participants. The first question was that while you're sharing and you want to have a break and you don't feel like sharing something, and there is that break. What should you do, or how long can a break be?
Well, it's not about a break. It's about sharing everything that's there. And if there's the impulse and the idea that I need a break while I'm in that time slot for my sharing, then this is again only something that I can share. For example, I feel stress in the body, and in my mind there's the idea that I need a break.
No, it. I had those moments as well where I had a negative sensation towards a break, so pause while I was sharing, and I felt uncomfortable. But this is different. This is a positive feeling of feeling connected with the other person and not needing to say anything, just having the eye contact and having connection.
Yeah, there we have to be careful because it depends on the structure of the personality of the one who has this question now. Because on the one hand, it could be that the person tries or subconsciously, in a way, merges with the other and loses contact to himself or herself, and then he says, "Oh well, it's so nice, and there's nothing to say anymore, and I want to remain in that state." This is one possibility, and this is what I call the merging type. And if this is the case, it is very important to remain within ourselves. So the merging type always has the tendency to forget himself completely and merges with the other. And then, of course, this can create such a state you have described. But in fact, actually, if we really stay aware and being connected with ourselves and the other, then there's always a movement, because we are human beings, and we are not fully enlightened masters. So there's always movement of emotions and body sensations and thoughts. And even if there's no thought, even if there's mental silence, this is no problem. Because if there would be really silence in the mind, you cannot say anything, because there's no movement. You can only say something that appeared as sentences in the mind. If there would be really silence, that would be something like samadhi, yeah, or a certain level of silence of the mind, you cannot say anything. That's okay, yeah, that's no problem. But everything else we can share. For example, there's the idea in my mind that there are no thoughts, because this is also a thought, yeah.
So I have a thought in my mind that that I don't have any thoughts.
Yeah, it's a thought. It's
Okay.
not real silence. It's a thought that there are no thoughts. So it's not the case. It's
But you're also thinking this, that there are no thoughts.
if this thought arises, you can share it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you express then that I like that that pause of like 30 seconds or so feels positive or feels negative? Is that important to share this?
Yeah, it's better to share what's there, because it means honest sharing means we get in contact. Yeah, and if we don't say anything, then we are not sharing anything. Yeah, it's not the problem to make a pause, but that's not what we want. We want to exchange and share. And it's about sharing what's there. For example, there's a feeling of well-being. There's a feeling of happiness. I feel relaxation in my body. You can always share what's there. It doesn't exist something that you cannot share. So actually, there's no need for a pause. Maybe you can explain in more detail why this question arises. And I mean, because you don't destroy this beautiful state by sharing it.
Okay, so for example, when I started with honest sharing, there were lots of thoughts in my mind, and I was like, I'm busy thinking what to share now. So I kind of like took a moment, but I was more stressed in that pause of like, what am I sharing now?
Yeah, this is a thought. What am I sharing now? Just share it. In my mind is the thought, what should I share now?
Okay, so I had then this negative break and pause, and I felt really uncomfortable. And then after this pause, I shared this. But a pause maybe, you know, when normally you share, you have a sentence, pause, like a second, and you share the next, and you share the next in that speed. But then you have like a 10-second break, and it just feels like huge.
Yeah, and what happens in the 10-second break? There happens something that you can share.
Yeah. So there was that negativity, the negative feelings. And then I shared this insecurity, anxiousness, fear.
Yeah, there's no need for a pause. Just continue sharing.
But now recently I feel different in the sense that during those pauses, it feels really nice. It feels connected.
Whatever, share it, whatever. It doesn't matter what is there. It's the content is completely irrelevant. If it feels good, if it feels bad, if it's love, hate, indifference, doesn't matter. Just continue sharing.
So I have this situation that I share something and then I have a pause. And in this in this pause, I feel really connection to myself as well as the
pause. You see, there is no pause. You constantly experience something that you can share. Pauses don't exist.
So you should not have like what? So what is a pause for you? How many seconds?
There are no pauses.
Okay.
Well, I don't really understand the question, because sharing means we share that's there, and the idea of a pause, it sounds for me as if that would be a certain time frame where you cannot share something. And I just explain or try to explain is that there's no need to stop.
So what I experience is that I feel connection and I share this. So I feel connection. Right. Then I pause.
Pause, again pause.
Yeah. Because while I'm saying this, the connection goes somehow. Oh.
Yeah, and if it goes, you share it. No, my mind says that the connection is lost.
And then I don't say anything and the connection is back again.
It's not about a strategy. It's about sharing what's there. And you want to go away from sharing by creating a pause and try to create beautiful states. It's absolutely not about this. Sharing means sharing. It's not a strategy for good states. It's not a strategy. It's not a strategy to feel better. Yes, if you do honest sharing, you feel better. But if you use it as a strategy, you run away from the contact.
No, I have moments of super, super connection with me and with the other person. Yeah. And then I share, I feel connected.
Then why we talk about a pause? I don't understand it.
Okay. Okay.
I ask you another question. Why do you need to pause?
I do not need to pause. Maybe pausing is the wrong word. Maybe connection without words is.
No, this is not honest sharing. Honest sharing means physically share what's there.
Yeah.
If you do that, you go away from honest sharing. It's not what I'm teaching.
Yeah, I feel in the body and I share what's there, and I go into the emotions, and I suddenly have this thought, oh, and the feeling, I feel connected, and I share this, and
constantly share what's there.
Okay.
If you go away from sharing, you go away from the contact. Yeah, this is, then you separate from yourself and from the other. That's not what honest sharing is. There is no pause. There is no pause, because pause would mean there's nothing. Yeah.
Okay. Let's focus on the next question. So, okay. What can you advise people who lead the groups if a person is upset? If somebody who's sharing is beyond upset and in distress, and it's in a Zoom call.
Mm. Yeah, we have to distinguish that honest sharing is not therapy, and honest sharing in a group needs a certain stability of the personality.
Okay.
And of course, sometimes people come who are not stable enough. And not stable enough means that they get into states where they completely lose their grown-up consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if this happens once, that's not the problem. But if you see that it is a pattern, then you really have to ask this person to search for a therapist. And then if this one has more stability, then he or she can come back.
Yeah, but you're the leader of the group. You have one person there and who suddenly turns completely distressed because you're not there. You can't help him. You can't check that he's okay.
You are not responsible. You are not a therapist. You are not responsible. Everyone takes part on its own responsibility. It's not therapy. It's a group self-help. So whatever happens, it's not in your responsibility. Yeah, this is different from a therapeutic setting, because there the therapist has the responsibility.
Yes, but you're somewhat responsible because you're leading the group. So.
You're not responsible for the stability of the participants. You're responsible for the setting. Yeah, and if someone is so disturbing that the setting becomes unstable, yeah, then you have to remove that one. Of course, we have to say sorry, but you cannot take part in this group if you create so much turmoil here. For example, we need some stability here, so please go first and look for a therapy.
So you really switch them off the Zoom call.
You can, of course, you have to, because otherwise the whole group is lost. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell them, please stop that now. Otherwise, I have to. You have to leave the group. It's not. It is not about acting out here. We are here for honest sharing. Mm. If you get angry and you cannot control that, then you are here. You are not welcome here. This is not possible here.
I haven't had anger. I had a fear and insecurity and you know, this kind of like negative.
In the worst case, he has to call the ambulance. You are not responsible for these people. Yeah. If they get in strong fear, then you just recommend them to leave the group. Yeah. This will help, because if they log out, yeah, then they create distance to the setting, and this will in most of the cases immediately reduce the this activation.
Okay, that helps, because you just, you know, leading a group, you feel somewhat responsible, because you know, leading the group is just like.
Yeah, and also just to add that it is important that this is a legal issue that is different in any in all the countries, but what is absolutely necessary is that every participant knows that you are not a therapist and not a doctor.
Yeah.
You have to say that in when you start a group and there's someone who is there for the first time, you have to say mm-hmm. that, and
yeah,
it's really important.
So what I normally do is before I let somebody new join a group, I meet them one-to-one just to see their level of honest sharing and where they are emotionally and what's going on, and then search the appropriate group for them.
Yeah, that's great.
Obviously time-wise, but also, you know, from the from the level. So last question comes from a participant. So what can they do if they love honest sharing and they have this intimate relationship and it just doesn't work? they try honest sharing, but because they can't explain it yet or the partner resists, what can you offer them?
A partnership means that both want to deepen the exchange. And if one partner doesn't want that or refuses that, then it is not a partnership at all. It's putting two physical bodies into one apartment, but it's not a partnership. And you can offer that. You can ask them, do you want to deepen our relationship? Do you want that we exchange our emotions, that we share more, that we heal together? Do you really want that to do with me? Yeah, it's good to ask that, because otherwise we don't know. So and then you see very soon if the partner really wants that too. And if not, there's no point. I mean, it's really, I advise people to then to really separate, because it's not a partnership at all. And if there's the willingness to do that, maybe the partner says, yes, actually, I understand that it would be a good idea, but I have absolutely, I don't understand this. Yeah. Then you can share together or on a group, or you can participate in my workshops. Also, I have workshops for couples. Yeah. But actually, the description is enough for couples to do that on their own. So, so I really, it happens from time to time that I really advise such a person to separate, because otherwise the one is in a revival of the childhood, because that means he or she doesn't get the contact. And there are millions of people available who are ready for deep relationships.
Could you think of a way to have them doing their honest sharing first separate, because, you know, facing each other may be too disturbing?
It's a possibility. Oh, absolutely. This is an idea. Can be other, usually a couple, a partnership is the safest place. So most will start, but at the same time, of course, it triggers the most. So this can be a good idea. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So people normally start with honest sharing with problems, right? So if you have a perfect relationship, then you probably kind of do already honest sharing in some other form. So I find it difficult because the partners of those ones in my groups, they have no idea and they just feel overwhelmed by the language already. When you say, like, you know, when you talk to your partner the first time and you say something like, oh, would you like to hear with me together? They just look at you like a host to say, like, what?
What I didn't understand. What?
If you do your honest sharing and you are in a regular group and you are that for example, a female in that merging type, and you understand finally what's going on and why you're doing this, and then you suddenly have the strength to go to your partner and say, like, oh yeah, would you like to hear with me together?
I didn't understand.
To heal.
Ah, okay. To heal. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the partner is completely overwhelmed and doesn't understand and you know, can't, you know, doesn't have the knowledge you have now.
Of course, you can start with, for example, do you want to, I already said it, do you want to exchange the emotions? Are you interested in deepening our relationships? Yeah, and then you can, I have learned a nice technique. Do you want to try that? It helps us to get more in contact and so on. Yeah, just give some context and explanation.
So if they don't want to, then you kind of need to.
If this partner doesn't want it, it means there is no connection at all. So the one doesn't lose anything because there's nothing there. I mean, if I'm absolutely not interested in what's going on inside of my partner, then what is that? This is nothing. Yeah, not even a friendship. So then it's absolutely clear to say goodbye.
Yeah.
This is very hard, yeah, but it's leaving the childhood scenario, and most people live in that childhood patterns of destructive relationships. And if you start with honest sharing, you immediately or very fast experience the reality of the partnership. That means the capacity for real contact, and this may be also like a waking up and also a shock, because then you see, wow, my partner is absolutely, he has no interest in that, in me, in being in connection. Yeah.
Yeah. So here's the term gaslighting and narcissistic traits and stuff like this. So that's big in America. So it's in, like, you find it in the social media, you find it everywhere now. So this is not a relationship, basically.
Yeah, but we have to be careful. It's always the narcissism that seems to be the evil or the destructive part, but this is just 50%. It's always balanced in a relationship. Yeah. And nobody talks about the dependent personality disorder, because this is the other pole. So it's not only the two structures that you have described. So we have always at exactly 50% on the other side. So it's both who create the destructive patterns.
Can you talk about the narcissistic one, what's behind? Why is he narcissistic? Because it's very insecure people, right?
Absolutely irrelevant. The mind always wants to try to understand something instead of getting in contact. If you honestly share with a narcissism, with a narcissistic personality, then also this one has to change. And yeah, it's about honestly sharing. And of course, if it is in such a degree that it's dangerous, even, I mean, there is a pathological end, yeah, then of course you have to call the police or leave immediately. But we are talking about destructive patterns, yeah, which are not so far on the end of the. It is not relevant what's there. We don't have to understand that. Yeah, whether someone is depressive, narcissistic, it doesn't matter. It's only about sharing. And if you start sharing honestly, then your partner has to take part in that or leave, because it's not bearable for someone to remain in that distance. And the other one creates very much closeness by honest sharing. So it's all, these are all traps. This is all, we just don't want to look at the contact, at the extra, what's actually there. Yeah, because this is against the ego. If I can understand the other, then I'm in control and my ego feels great. But my own mechanism of creating distance is not resolved by that. Yeah, so honest sharing dissolves my own ego and the ego of the other. Yeah, and we need two poles, one who's open to listen and the other who's willing to share. And what kind of destructive persons are involved is not relevant, absolutely not relevant.
Super. That was lovely. What I loved was the PDF from you for the couples, that big capital letters of, it's not your partner. It's within you. Mm-hmm. And go in a quiet corner and feel inside you what stresses you about your partner, and then focus on this, what stresses you.
Now we
searching.
This has nothing to do with honest sharing, what you're
talking about. Yes, but it was in relation to the couples.
Mm-hmm.
So that's new on your website, so I've noticed that. So
okay.
Thank you for that.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Let's round up. It was really lovely to talk to you. Thank you for taking that time. And yeah.
Yeah, I hope to hear more questions from you, and so we can.
Yeah, I gather questions and let's speak soon again.